Are you ready for the weekend yet? We have events, news, and a guest for you to enjoy this Lake Life weekend. Hello and welcome to another episode of Lake Life Weekend Podcast. This is Dirk, I'm your host, and it is weekend 28 approaching. Thanks for tuning in. We have an interview today with Jess, which is from last year, but because it is so hot and it is so nice out, I thought we repeat this interview about SUP, stand-up paddling and yoga and all she does here in the area. I'm actually debating to buy a SUP myself. I have looked at a couple and I haven't really pulled the trigger yet, but hopefully soon. It is nice out. I hope you had a wonderful 4th of July, and the past weekend was just, we were blessed with nice sun and hot, just super air temperature and beautiful water. Actually, by the way, I was out on the water a lot and I tried wake surfing also last weekend. I was invited by some neighbors. That was just a blast. Thank you very much for that. I hope, I don't have good pictures. Well, I should have taken, maybe not. Well, if you don't follow us on Facebook yet, please do that. We share highlights there also, and we always link to our website. You know, you find all the schedules and destinations and tips around the area at lakelifeweekend.com, so please drive there. Another big shout out to our sponsor for this episode, Jack Chivers Realty here out of Detroit Lakes. If you would like to find your lake life and a property on the lake, go to jackchiversrealty.com and you will find a lot of experts from the local area to help you find your lake life. Thank you very much for that. And then, yeah, I don't want to keep this any longer, actually, to our interview part with Jess. Enjoy, and enjoy this weekend and all the activities. Water Carnival in full swing in Detroit Lakes. Here also turtle races in Perm, and everything on our website, lakelifeweekend.com. Updated daily. Drive there to get your weekend itinerary. Thank you very much and enjoy this interview. Yeah, I have with me Jess from SUP Up North, and I want to explain to you real quick how I met her for the first time. I was actually paddleboarding on my, I was canoeing on my lake, and you know I'm on Lake 7, and with my son going fishing towards the island, and then there was this big group of 20 people on those stand-up paddling boards, and I was a little confused where this big group came from, and this bay is really calm, protected from winds, and my neighbors had a big family gathering and they organized your services or rent, I don't know, hired you for the day as a program. And then what happened is that group did yoga on a paddleboard, and I got a little distracted, but I was still able to navigate my canoe safely for our fishing trip. But this is how I saw you for the first time, and then I learned about your little business in the neighborhood. And yeah, today Jess is with me here to tell us a little bit about Jess and what is this all about? Stand-up paddling, yoga, balancing. Yeah, Jess, hello.
On these things called SUP. SUP. Right? So SUP is a stand-up paddleboard, and they're becoming pretty common in the lakes area now. And it's becoming more common too to see these pop-up groups doing yoga in the middle of the lake. And so, right, I started stand-up paddleboard yoga with my business Lakes Pace in 2012. And we named the business Lakes Pace because I was a runner. And okay. My husband and I just enjoy the Lakes Pace of life. So Lakes Pace as a business came out of our enjoyment of the Lakes Pace of life. The SUP North Minnesota is my email and my webpage, SUPNORTH for North Minnesota, SUP North MN. And my husband said, you can't name your business anything with sup because sup is slang. Like, what's up? And the funny thing is that now it's, you know, it's kind of the cool thing. You know, we sup, we paddle now on these stand-up paddle boards. So they are long boards and, you know, originating from the Hawaiian
yeah,
islands,
okay.
Right, is they were instructor boards. And I believe they still are used as instructor boards. I have never surfed. Yeah. That's still in my bucket list, so I'm hoping to do that someday. But I do stand up paddle on them.
Before we go too deep into the supping,
sure.
Tell us a little bit more about you. Are you from the area originally? Are you a Minnesota born? Did you relocate here? I'm a relocate. People hear that.
Sure.
But are you a true Minnesota?
So I'm born and raised in Minnesota, but not the Lakes Country, actually. My husband and I have been here about 13 years.
Okay.
We moved north for my husband's job, and like many people that we meet up here, fell in love with the area.
Yeah.
And my goodness, it is an area that is growing and changing. Every year, there's so much to offer families and people that move up north. We fell in love with it, and we've been here since.
You were introduced to lake life from moving up here. Or have you been experiencing or practicing lake life down where you grew
up?
Right.
So for where we are from originally, south of the Twin Cities, we're from the metro area.
Okay.
And we always came to the lakes area. Actually, when we were growing up, we went to the Brainerd Lakes area.
On vacationing.
On vacation.
It was a highlight.
Yeah.
And now you live that.
We grew up on the Minnesota River. So my husband actually grew up on the river.
Oh.
And my family grew up going to the lake. And both of us always wanted to live on a lake. We moved up north and are kind of living our dream, I guess.
Yeah.
So
many of us do, and I'm not the only one just relocating here. So
right,
so
a great place to be.
Yeah, perfect place to be, actually, really. 13 years in Lakes Country, and
yeah.
So 2012, you just said?
2012, we started the business, yeah.
Oh, you and your husband do it together?
He's my silent partner.
Oh, okay. He cleans the equipment?
No, but he built my trailer for me. Then.
Okay.
So if you see an open-air trailer hauling a dozen or so stand-up paddle boards behind a little black Jeep, that's me. So you can honk and wave. I usually wave back.
Honk twice, please, then they know you heard it on the podcast.
Yes, honk twice, and we'll know you heard it here first. So, so he built my trailer and continues to support what I do. I teach yoga year-round at the community center here in Detroit Lakes and at 180 Balance on Washington Avenue.
So you're a yoga instructor.
I'm a yoga instructor.
And you're a passionate athlete because you
That's
used
right.
lake pace. You went jogging, running.
Yeah,
and
13 marathons down. Check.
Really? 13?
Yeah, 13 so far.
Oh, my God. I don't even have one. Not even a half.
Yeah.
So
and now there's marathons on stand-up paddleboards, too. So, in fact, there's one in Alexandria every spring right around the same time that we do our water carnival. So if you start stand-up paddleboarding and really fall in love with it, there are races in the area.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm still – I looked at paddleboarding and not really into it yet. But it became more fashionable. I see more people buying equipment, using equipment on my lake too.
Yeah, right.
I see some with a dog on it and funny pictures, and somebody else. So tell us a little bit about the different types. So can yoga on everyone? Longboards, is there smaller ones, bigger ones? A little bit technical details.
What are these boards all
about?
Yeah,
are they
sure.
all different, all the same?
Yeah, well, you know, the boards that I use, I teach yoga on the boards,
mm-hmm.
and so they need to be really stable. And the boards that I use for my business are very stable. They're generally 32 inches to 33 inches wide, and I have a few boards that are a little wider than that. Generally, the boards that I use for yoga are between 10.5 and 12 feet long. So the longer or the wider or the combination of both, the more stable the boards are. Right. So if you're going to do yoga or if you're going to fish off your board, because that's also becoming popular, then you'll want a longer or a wider board. If you're going to race your board, a narrower board is
less with resistance.
Less resistance, sure. And then typically those boards are tapered too. So those might be pointed noses on those boards versus a little
round.
More rounded. knows, right? That is a more general use board.
Okay.
So racing boards are typically a little narrower and perhaps a little longer, depending on your experience level.
Okay.
Right. And then, so if you were, you and I were to go out and test the same length board, being that that you're male, your center of gravity is a little higher. I'm female, mine's a little lower. Mm-hmm. You're a little taller than me. I'm a little shorter, so my center of gravity was even a little lower yet.
Mm.
So I'd be able to, if we went on the same length board, it's
going to
be a little easier for me.
Sure.
You're more likely to tip, right?
Yeah.
So a lot of times what I'll tell families is, you know, when you're looking at boards or considering boards, consider who's going to be on the board
the most.
Right. So if you're going to be using it for yoga, you know, look for a wider or longer board. If you're going to have a variety of sizes of people on the board, you know, go for the longer, wider. If you're a more petite person or you're going to have your kids on the boards, the shorter boards are easier to navigate,
sure.
Right? So they're easier to turn.
Sure.
But then you lose a little instability.
Yeah.
But if you're a smaller stature person, that's not a problem.
So we have two. We have two subjects almost, like the general boarding, cruising, let's say, or enjoying
sure.
nature.
Sure.
And I must say, I think like yoga. I mean, like there's yoga and yoga. I do yoga once a week, maybe.
Sure.
It's stretching.
Sure.
Yeah, I stretch my back, and it's actually good for me. But I'm not a yoga professional
enthusiast. Sure.
So, man, the little yoga that I do on the ground, I don't know. So, how many people fall in the water when they practice?
Oh, great
everybody?
Question. I get that question a lot. And you know, it varies. There are many classes where I teach where I don't have anyone fall in.
Hmm.
I have many classes that there are people that fall in. Sometimes the whole class falls in. You know, it depends on, you know, the experience level of the class. You know, it might depend on the weather, you know, on a calm day.
Sure.
You know, we all like to be out on nice, warm, sunny days. It's nicer,
yeah.
You know, it's
yeah.
easier to stay on the board when the weather's calm also. And it depends on what we're doing. So if we're doing a vinyasa flow on the board, you know, sometimes in those transitions between poses, that's where we'll go in. And sometimes for me as an instructor, sometimes when I turn to give an instructor to somebody or an instruction to somebody who maybe didn't hear me or I just needed to turn, that's sometimes when I fall in, when I'm a little distracted from the posture itself or from what I'm doing on the board. Or
mm-hmm.
it's happened too where we're paddling and you can miss stroke. So if the blade of the paddle goes in nice and perpendicular to the water, you get a nice strong pull.
Yeah.
And if you turn your paddle mistakenly, it often happens when I'm talking. You know,
yeah.
I'm not one of those people who can chew gum and walk very cleanly at the same time as you. You know, I'll have people like that in your life. That's me. So so sometimes misstroking, maybe the paddle turns in your
yeah.
hand and all of a sudden instead of having resistance, you have fluidity and you can just tumble right in then too.
Okay.
So that happens. For sure,
it is not easy, actually.
Well,
it can be, but it is.
It's one of those things. If you can stand on a sidewalk and feel pretty comfortable, or if you can stand on a skateboard on a sidewalk, I should maybe say it that way.
Okay.
And feel pretty comfortable, you know. Paddleboarding is, you know, once you get your lake legs underneath
yeah.
you.
Yeah. Okay.
Your
okay.
sea legs underneath you.
Yeah.
It's something that can be very enjoyable and pretty relaxing too.
Yeah.
It also, on the flip side, can be a very good workout. It depends on how you're using it as an individual.
The workout. Now, yoga, like I said, I do it more for stretching, back muscle building or whatever. It's actually helping. So, but now
yeah.
So the balancing on the water, is that like the tip of it? Is it like this, like
sure.
increase it? Is it that much more difficult? Or do you address that many more muscles? Why yoga on a paddleboard?
Oh,
just because
it's
awesome?
So fun. Okay,
oh.
So I was in the middle of my yoga training for my 200-hour registered yoga teacher training. And we're nearing the end of that training process for me. And my sister called me and she said, you know, Jess, have you tried these things called SUP, these stand-up paddle boards? And I said, you know, no, I've never heard of it. Tell me more. Well, she is, she's a gal. She lives on the East Coast. My sister is just an athlete. And she and her husband do dragon boat racing. So long canoes.
That.
Have you done that?
No,
they do
I
these
know
in Bemidji
it.
Now, too. So just so you know, you should check this out.
In Germany, my university had tradition dragon boat racing.
Oh,
but,
my goodness. It's so fun. And you can do these. Anyways,
yeah.
I digress a little bit. So she called and she said, you know, at the dragon boat race, they had these paddle boards. You're going to love these. See if you can find it. Well, I looked it up and in the metro area, there was a group that was just sampling. They
okay.
they weren't doing much with it yet at that point.
2010?
Yep, around 2010.
Okay.
Yep. So yeah. I got to sample a board, go on a demonstration day, and we paddled. And like I said, I was in the middle of my yoga training.
Yeah.
I just happened to do the demonstration with a gal who was a Pilates instructor.
Okay.
In the cities. And between the two of us, we just started playing, you know, on the boards. And before we brought the boards back, we just laid back on our boards. And this was actually at Lake of the Isles in Minneapolis, if you're
okay.
familiar. Yeah. And so if you go back into Lake of the Isles, there's a lagoon kind of area where it's real beautiful with willow trees, and there's a lot of birds and wildlife. And so we just laid back. Here we are in the middle of Minneapolis, lying on the paddleboards on a lake. You know, just, you know, soaking it in.
Connected.
You know, now imagine that same thing up in Lakes Country, where there's not the traffic and no planes and airplanes, but it's just serene and quiet. And that's what it's like on my lake, where we do our Saturday morning yoga classes.
So, I can come to your, a little bit more about that next.
Right. So, that's what brought me to do yoga on the paddleboard. Was just this like feeling of, oh my gosh, this is awesome. Here I am.
So you didn't
just relaxed.
You didn't see it on YouTube. You didn't see it. As, like,
I
your
hadn't,
sister connected
no.
you
yeah.
with that paddleboard, and you said, like, you know what, man, I'm a yoga.
I'm doing this training.
Like, I will do up
Came
north.
Back. Yep.
Bring yoga on a paddleboard, and then
it took me a couple of years to get my husband behind me, and you know, let this idea simmer a little bit before. And then in the meantime, you know, of course, this idea was exploding in different parts
yeah.
of the world. So it was not just me coming up with this idea, but no, I hadn't seen the idea anywhere else before. I had this
experience.
Are you
the only one in the area offering a class? Because I can come to your lake and...
You
and
can come to my lake.
So you give classes on Boot Lake then?
Yeah, I'm Boot Lake. In between, it's a Frazee address.
Yeah.
I teach in Detroit Lakes also on different days. Last year, I taught on Thursday and Friday mornings. This year will be a little bit different, but my schedule will be posted in May.
Yeah.
On my website, it's the www.supnorthmn.com. And I do fitness on the board and yoga. And I think you were kind of alluding to this fitness thing too a little earlier.
Yeah.
Like, what is this? So, you know, anything that you do on a mat, you know, I found that you can take it to the board and then bring it to the level that you want to go to with it. So it can be pretty extreme and hard. It's very much, and you know, anytime you're balancing, you know, even on the mat or on the ground, you know, anytime you're balancing, you're engaging core muscles.
Sure.
And so for me, my yoga practice changed a bit. Like, I became aware of where I had imbalances in my body because, you know, if I have one side that's strong and one side that's weak and I'm imbalanced in the board, I'm in the water, you know?
Yeah.
So, and that happens, you know, it's a learning process. And so it happens to me a lot less now than it did when I started. But right, it's a lot of fun. It's the atmosphere. It's being outside.
I can see it.
And yet at the same time, it can be a really intense workout. And
so when I'm here at the weekend, for example, you need a weekend too, but do you offer classes Saturday and Sunday on your lake, Boot Lake, or do, and I saw you where you were hired to orchestra
a
class
right.
for a family. So tell me about that. So can I come Saturday mornings? You have a class Saturday mornings, and then in the afternoon you're offsite, so people can also say like, hey, we have a, I mean, what a nice idea. You have all your cousins and you want some fun. You come with the trailer and the 12 boards,
right?
And then you do it right,
all the
servicing
equipment.
On the family's property too.
Right.
So you have
right.
more. Okay, tell me about the weekend. How does your weekend look like?
Oh, it varies per weekend. So a typical weekend, I usually do a Friday morning. Mid-morning class here in Detroit Lakes.
Mm-hmm.
The class that I do on Saturday mornings is just at our place.
Mm-hmm.
And
how big is the group? How many people come?
It varies. Also, I've had very small groups. Maybe it's just me and one or two other people, and at other times, as many as 15. You had said 20 earlier, and there's times where it gets to be that large, particularly when some of the party might have their own boards. Also,
should I sign up? Can I just show? Because the lake is big enough.
Yeah, right, like. Right. There's space. I do prefer to have a heads up that you're on the way, just because if we're off site, so that I can look for you. So I have done classes on Lake 6 and 7, and in Detroit Lakes, and different private parties for people, and usually they know who's coming, so that's kind of nice. But when it's a pop up class or even if it's at my place, if I know you're coming, I can have a board ready and equipment ready for you. So the cost of the class always includes the board and paddle and life jacket and everything you're going to need for the class. And people sometimes do bring their own boards, but a lot of times people, you know, they're cumbersome. These boards are not small. Mm. And so sometimes traveling with a board is kind
of challenging.
And so for the price of the class, you know, why not come and use one of mine?
Sure.
That they're big and they're broad and they're designed for the class. So that's always a question I get is, you know, is the board included? Yep, it is.
Cool.
Yep. And I do the same thing with large groups too. And I'll bring, you know, as many as they ask for.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. For boards.
So has been built you two trailers?
I do have two trailers now, yeah. But one is actually the family camping trailer that I'm kind of confiscating, you know, once in a while. So, and generally with a trailer, I can travel with right around up to 14 boards is what I travel with. But that's a very large class. So typically it's more 8 to 10.
So an average or a good size group and you are up front instructing as about 8 people.
Yeah.
That's a good class.
Yeah, that's a great class.
And 14 is kind of like, oof, now
pretty big,
Too many people fall in the water.
Yeah, and it sometimes, but not all the time.
Yeah.
Getting on and off the board is a lot like hopping in and out of the pool. So if you're comfortable with kind of hopping up onto the edge of a pool, getting on your board is a lot like that. So I've had people ask, well, what, you know, how hard is it to get back on these boards?
Yeah, that's what I thought too.
And, you know, my husband and I do it totally differently. I get up just like I'm getting onto the edge of the pool. He'll swim to the tail of the board and climb it like a ladder. So
And
I know this might be hard to visualize, but
I can
a
see
lot
it.
Of times people will fall in and then get back on their board because it's kind of a surprise when you fall in sometimes that they'll get back on the board quicker than
right away.
Yeah, and you'll ask them, how'd you get back on the board?
Oh, I don't remember.
I don't know, but I'm on the board now, and that wasn't so hard. So
cool.
No, there is a chance to get wet, but like I said, there's a lot of times where people don't fall in too, so it goes both ways.
And so now we know that we can find you or meet you over the weekend. Tell me do you maybe have some tips for us, since you are more of an expert than me, of course, maybe some others thinking about buying one just to test it for one season.
Sure.
Can you tell us a little bit about the equipment? Like if I consider buying one now for me and my son, or just a little cruiser, I've seen that they are all I see is around $1,000, and $1,000 is always a lot of money. Is there cheaper ones? Is there a source for used ones? Do you have any recommendations for me as like looking into it?
Right. So
at first,
if you're looking for a quality board that's going to last you a while, and you know boards can last a lifetime if they're taken care of well, and you know, barring no damage and that kind of thing, plan on spending about $100 a foot on a new board. And that's give or take. And that's information that's actually, you know, been very consistent over the last, you know, 5-6 years. You can spend more than that, of course, and you can spend less. And what I tell a lot of people that ask me about it, I'll say, you know, you really do kind of pay for the quality of the board and the material and the construction. The more expensive boards will tend to be lighter and easier to manage. They're typically repairable. Should you get a ding, that kind of thing.
Fiberglass? What are they made of?
Fiberglass. Mm. Yep, very commonly fiberglass. And then their foam in the core. That's what keeps them light.
Sure.
And a lot of times epoxy resin on the outside.
Yeah, okay. Like a piano?
I'm not sure.
Oh,
I'm not a piano
like
player.
Piano shiny?
Looks
like
like a glassing on it.
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. Okay, glassing, yeah.
Yeah,
And backing $100 per foot, and we learned 12 foot would be a fast one, and a 16 foot is more the stable.
Well, not necessarily fast, but longer, right?
Longer
and more stable.
Mm-hmm. So I mean, that's like I just learned, like, you know, I'm probably a little tipsy, so I need a longer one. It's like, oof, I'm already at 16 feet, $100.
Oh, I wouldn't. For in our area, 12 foot would be
sufficient
for most paddlers.
Oh, okay.
Even and for ladies, you know, 10 and a half to 11 feet. My favorite board that I use most often is 11 foot long, 33 inches wide. I do my yoga on that board. My children ride with me on that board.
Oh,
You know,
so 10, 11 foot board is okay.
Yeah, 10 foot gets to be a little bit shorter if you're going to have men on the board, if or multiple riders or taller paddlers, then the 10 foot is going to be more challenging. So, you know, shoot for that mid range, you know, average 11, you know, 12 foot would be, is a nice length for most riders.
Okay.
So, yeah. And the epoxy boards are going to be a little bit more expensive typically, right? Boards are also being made of composite board, composite material now too. You can find fiberglass with composite, which is nice, particularly if you have riprap or rock on your, or if you have a dock that has a metal edge, or you have kids, the composite board is kind of nice because it's not epoxy, it's not glassing, so it's not going to scratch and dent as easily. The boards that I use for rentals are a composite material, but they're also very light because they're also foam core. So
and those the composite are nice. Run at what price range?
So they're maybe a little bit less than the epoxy boards, depending on the brand and depending on the company. They're a true composite board is not going to have a foam core. They'll be hollow, and and they'll be made of either a composite or a durable plastic. Mm-hmm. And those boards are going to be heavier. They're going to be the kinds of boards that you can probably leave outside near your dock and not worry about as much. And they're going to be much lesser
inside for the other ones.
Out of the sunshine. So maybe. Because foam expands when it's hot, right?
Sure.
So some days in middle of July or August in Minnesota when it's, you know, 90 degrees with a percent humidity, so it puts it over 100 degrees index, you know, something like that. You definitely want to keep your board in the shade.
Oh.
Yeah, and cool, because that foam can expand and then cause a crack in your board.
Okay,
so
okay.
Heat damage is probably the most common, pesky thing that is, you know, kind of in what I found is one of those more annoying kind of things that happen that are a little bit more difficult. If I ding a board, it's usually a smaller injury to the board, and I can manage that with a little epoxy or patch, but sometimes a heat one is
that's good detail, because I mean
so
many things
shade.
To like not think about. Keeping it covered or shade, like
in
putting
shade,
it in the shade. But like you said, outside, so it is better to have a shed. It's the best would be like having not rain and
anything will last a little longer if you have it indoors.
Because if you have 11 foot all of a sudden,
but that doesn't mean you can't keep it outside. There's plenty of people I know who keep it right on their dock side. It's just in the shade of a tree, you know, something that it's not in the direct sunlight.
And then laying it flat on the bottom or like up, like does it bend?
Yeah, they don't bend. No,
they don't bend. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, like a golf. I don't know. Like, you know.
Yeah, no, like it's. They do make you know, pad, like yoga pads now to do yoga, or like lily pads on the water, but but right, those are more like float toys. So the stand-up pad boards are firm. They're solid. They also come inflatable also, which is a nice option for someone who doesn't have storage. And if they roll down and pack into the something the size of a backpack that you would go to Europe in, you know, those large backpacks. So they fit in the trunk of a car pretty easily. And the paddles usually come in three pieces then, so you can take the paddle apart and put it in your bag and have everything contained.
How firm is it when it's pumped up?
They're approximate. They're great.
Really?
They've gotten way, way better. Far better than
and
when...
And I have a pump?
Yeah.
A little electric pump or whatever?
Yeah.
Okay.
And they usually come with foot pumps, but you know, for my use, we use the same pump that we use to fill our air mattresses with, you know.
Sure.
And it's much faster.
Yeah.
Or you can use a compressor and then fill it up
real
fast, right?
Yeah,
but
everybody has a compressor.
You know, anything with the hand pump is a little tedious, but it works.
Yeah.
It just takes a little time and muscle.
So
that can be part of your workout, right?
Yeah.
Blowing
up
your paddleboard.
Understood.
And then so things to think about when you're looking at a board, kind of what are you going to use the board for? Are you just pleasure having it on the lake? Is it something that you're going to take really good care of and maybe have similar sized people on or more adults on it? Or is it something that you're going to allow the neighbor kids and the grandkids? And, you know, if you're going to have a lot of traffic with the board, then, yeah, it's not worth your time to spend a lot of money on an epoxy board when a plastic board will do just fine for general, you know, use for playing on. And, you know, I have family that will go out and they'll throw an anchor off their board and then just use it like a raft in the middle of the lake, or they'll take it on their pontoon and then when they're out on the point, you know, on Cormorant, they'll put the anchor out and that becomes their play raft off of the pontoon.
Yeah.
So, you know, if that's your use you know, the epoxy board might not be the choice for you. But if you're a person that's going to use it generally for, you know, going out in the morning for a nice paddle or yoga on the water, and it's something that you want to take really good care of, or you want to have a showpiece, you know, for just taking out on occasions too, something that's going to be taken care of, then that, you know, by all means, that epoxy board is going to be a good bang for your buck. For you'll get use out of it.
Yeah.
So I have a good mix in the fleet that I use for yoga. I have the rental boards that are the composite and their fiberglass foam core. I also have the epoxy boards, and I use both. and I would, they're great. So, but for yoga, if you're going to use that, you know, a little wider, a little longer, just so you have that stable grounding, so that you can do your poses. And a lot of times we'll start with postures that are, you know, you have 3 points of contact on the board, mm-hmm. and then we'll build something more difficult. You see a lot of pictures of people doing handstands.
Yeah, yeah.
In my classes, we don't do a lot of handstands unless I have someone really enthusiastic about it. And then it's, you know, I always tell people, if it's something that you wouldn't try on land, you know, don't try it on the water either. You know, try it on land first and feel comfortable doing that. I mean, even, but that being said, the yoga postures that we do during our yoga class are something that are very accessible for even your 1 week of class, one class a week is perfect experience.
Yeah.
And
you know what? I actually,
for the board. So this summer, you have to come over.
I'll come. Yeah, I'm thinking about it. I'll do it, actually. I'm pretty sure. It's close.
Absolutely,
by
absolutely. Yeah. No excuses.
No,
you can make it.
Yeah. Well, I'm really glad that you made yourself available to come and tell us this. Did you have anything else that like you want to share or point out from a...
On how to get a hold of me, my website is probably the easiest way to maybe find me.
You can probably Google.
You can Google
up north,
Sup
yoga,
North Minnesota,
Sup,
or Lake
Space. I've always found you.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
That's
no,
fantastic.
Yeah.
All good things, right?
All good things.
Classes this summer, I'm kind of finalizing my schedule, but we're looking at a perm class. Last year I added perm. We were at the Paul Miller Park in Perm. There's a landing there, a boat landing, and and a beach.
I thought in a park now.
So we had and they have a park. Paul Miller Park is a park right on the lake shore.
Yeah.
So one class a week there. Last year the perm participants were awesome, and some drove from New York Mills and from all over, so that was a lot of fun.
Oh, you brought all the paddleboards over
to Perm. Yep. And we'll be in Detroit Lakes probably 3 or 4 different times during the week, and then Saturday mornings
on the water
at my lake,
Detroit Lakes.
Yep.
During the week.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. So we meet at a lot of people will say, "Oh, you're that sunrise gal," and so we're on the water at sunrise and sunset. Those are the best times to be out. Mm. And it's calm, you know, it's before the wind picks up.
Sure.
And fishermen kind of pick the same times too, so we try to avoid the fishermen, and they probably look at us and laugh. We kind of provide a little bit of entertainment, maybe possibly once in a while, but
we meet
on Westlake Drive. The Rossman Avenue has a nice
parking.
Landing.
Yeah, I know the landing. Yeah,
yeah.
And parking. Yeah, everybody comes with the car.
Depending on the wind, we'll move if we need to. If the wind is from the south, which sometimes it is in the summer.
Yeah, yeah.
And we'll paddle out to a calm place and put our anchors in, and then we'll have class. So typically, right around that sunrise time. So if you're driving on Westlake Drive in DL, right around anytime between 6 and 8 in the morning, there's a good possibility you might see us. Last year it was Tuesday and Thursday mornings. This year is looking like it might be more Tuesday and then Friday a little later in the morning, possibly.
Well, very cool. And I'm actually sure that we will find some people that will look you up and find you.
Yeah, specifics are on my website, and you can always give a call too.
If you have questions, feel free to call Jessa. Thank you very much for coming, and enjoy your weekend.
Yeah, thank you, Dirk. Nice to talk with you.
Thank you.
Yeah, this was already our newest episode of the Lake Life Weekend podcast. We sure hope you enjoyed it. Tune in again next week with another great guest and updates. Always check out our website, lakelifeweekend.com. And if you have some comments, please feel free to email us at hello@lakelifeweekend.com. And you have a wonderful weekend ahead.